We'll call you Stefano if you insist on threatening us, Violet said. But we won't be together in this house for long. Stefano opened his mouth to say something, but Violet was not interested in continuing the conversation. She turned on her heel and marched primly through the enormous door of the reptile room, followed by her siblings. If you or I had been there, we would have thought that the Baudelaire orphans weren't scared at all, speaking so bravely like that to Stefano, and then simply walking away. But once the children reached the far end of the room, their true emotions showed clearly on their faces. The Baudelaires were terrified. Violet put her hands over her face and leaned against one of the reptile cages. Klaus sank into a chair, trembling so hard that his feet rattled against the marble floor. And Sunny curled up into a little ball on the floor, so tiny you might have missed her if you walked into the room. For several moments none of the children spoke, just listened to the muffled sounds of Stefano walking up the stairs and their own heartbeats pounding in their ears.
"How did he find us?"
Klaus asked. His voice was a hoarse whisper, as if he had a sore throat.
"How did he get to be Uncle Monty's assistant? What is he doing here?"
"He vowed that he'd get his hands on the Baudelaire fortune," Violet said, taking her hands away from her face and picking up Sunny, who was shivering. "That was the last thing he said to me before he escaped. He said he'd get our fortune if it was the last thing he ever did." Violet shuddered, and did not add that he'd also said that once he got their fortune, he'd do away with all three of the Baudelaire siblings. She did not need to add it. Violet, Klaus, and Sunny all knew that if he figured out a way to seize their fortune, he would slit the throats of the Baudelaire orphans as easily as you or I might eat a small butter cookie.
"What can we do?" Klaus asked. "Uncle Monty won't be back for hours."
"Maybe we can call Mr. Poe," Violet said. "It's the middle of business hours, but maybe he could leave the bank for an emergency." "He wouldn't believe us," Klaus said. "Remember when we tried to tell him about Count Olaf when we lived there? He took such a long time to realize the truth, it was almost too late. I think we should run away. If we leave right now, we could probably get to town in time to catch a train far away from here." Violet pictured the three of them all alone, walking along Lousy Lane beneath the sour apple trees, with the bitter smell of horseradish encircling them.
"Where would we go?" she asked. "Anywhere," Klaus said. "Anywhere but here. We could go far away, where Count Olaf wouldn't find us, and change our name so no one would know who we were."
"We haven't any money," Violet pointed out. "How could we live by ourselves?"
"We could get jobs," Klaus replied. "I could work in a library, maybe, and you could work in some sort of mechanical factory. Sunny probably couldn't get a job at her age, but in a few years she could."
The three orphans were quiet. They tried to picture leaving Uncle Monty and living by themselves, trying to find jobs and take care of each other. It was a very lonely prospect. The Baudelaire children sat in sad silence a while, and they were each thinking the same thing. They wished that their parents had never been killed in the fire, and that their lives had never been turned topsy-turvy the way they had. If only the Baudelaire parents were still alive, the youngsters wouldn't even have heard of Count Olaf, let alone have him settling into their home and undoubtedly making evil plans.
"We can't leave," Violet said finally. "Count Olaf found us once, and I'm sure he'd find us again no matter how far we went. Plus, who knows where Count Olaf's assistants are? Perhaps they've surrounded the house right now, keeping watch in case we're on to him."